Welcome to Torah Dinacha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we are studying Yecheskel, Perek Lamed Aleph, Chapter 31. This perek is the seventh in the series of Nevuos addressed to the other nations, and the third of four addressed directly to Mitzrayim. In this perek, the Navi compares the fates of the great Assyrian Empire to the expected fate of Egypt. Here, Paro compares himself to the king of Ashur, who is compared by the Navi to a cedar tree. The lesson from this perek is that the king of Ashur, who was elevated initially because of his positive attributes, met his downfall because of his arrogance. Paro, in comparing himself to Ashur's power, will also meet the same negative end. This perek can be divided into three sections. First, it describes the beauty of the cedar tree. Second, it tells of the fall of the tree. Third, it discusses the descent of Ashur and then Mitzrayim into Gehenna. The perek begins, "Vayhi ba'achas esrei shana ba'shlishi ve'echad l'chodesh hayad var Hashem elai lemor." And it was in the 11th year, in the third month, on the first day of the month, that the word of Hashem came to me, saying. This nevuah takes place about 2 months before the Korban, and 3 months after the nevuah in the previous perek. Egypt most certainly knew about the extent of the siege and intense suffering happening in Israel, as it was the one who abandoned Israel, which led to this very siege of Nebuchadnezzar. Pasuk Beis, verse 2. Hashem tells Yecheskel to ask Paro and his nation, El mi damisa begadlecha, to whom are you comparing yourself in your greatness? The pasuk answers this rhetorical question by saying that Paro would compare himself to Ashur in all its glory, as Ashur was once the most powerful country in the area. If that is the case, Egypt will also parallel the downfall of Ashur. The Mitzvah David says that Yecheskel points out in the first Pesukim that while Mitzrayim would like to think it is like Ashur, it is not truly similar to it at all. To explain, Yecheskel brings a vivid metaphor and compares Ashur to a cedar tree. Each element of his mashal shows the power and grandeur of Ashur in its nimshal. In Pasuk Gimel, it describes in detail this exceptional tree. It is taller than all the other trees. Its leaves and branches are more beautiful. Its foliage is so thick that it supplies exceptional shade like a full forest for all the other trees beneath it, and its crown reaches high above the other packed trees. The nimshal is that Ashur was wealthy and aided all the other nations around it. The Radak brings medrash as to why Ashur could be so much more exceptional than the other nations in the region. At the time when the Tower of Babel was being built, in the time of Nimrod, all the people joined to fight Hashem. This disturbed the original Ashur, so he moved away rather than allow his sons to be influenced by Nimrod. For this reason, in Pasuk Gimel, the crown of the tree is described as separate from all the other foliage, just as Ashur separated himself from the other nations. As a reward, Ashur was given extreme power and glory. The Pesukim continued to describe how unique the cedar tree was. It had a constant water source, Es Naharoseha Holech Svivos Mata'ah. Her rivers rent around her planting, so the tree was much stronger than all the other trees. The nimshal is that Ashur dominated all the other countries because it had great wealth that supported it. Rashi cites an added zechus that gave Ashur more strength. The nation, in specific its capital of Nineveh, did tshuva during the time of Yonah. The merit of those choices provided an extra level of protection and strength to that country, which was like having rivers providing a constant water supply to the tree. With such a great tree, it was no wonder, Pasuk Hei, verse 5, Gavha komoso mikol atzei hasadeh, its stature was exalted above all the trees of the field. The Pesukim described the tree further. It had many boughs with long branches because of its ample water source. It became a source of life and protection for all the animals in the forest. Birds nested in its branches, and animals birthed under the boughs, and whole nations sat in the shade. The nimshal is that just as all the animals received help from the tree, the other nations gained in trade, finances, and security from Ashur's presence. The tree continued to grow, and as it did, it became increasingly beautiful, as was planted by the water. No other tree could compare. The Malbim notes that the fact that the tree continued to be beautiful, even as it expanded, was remarkable, as generally plants lose some of their strength if they grow too quickly. The extra foliage weakens the trunk or root system. Likewise, nations that grow need to invest in the military, which could weaken their own position at home. In contrast, Even as Ashur grew its empire, it stayed strong and stable at home. There were no other kings before in history or elsewhere in the world that paralleled its strength and smooth expansion. Pasuk Tes, verse 9, concludes the Navi's description of the tree. Yafa asesiv derov daliosav. I made it beautiful with its many branches. Ve'kanuhu kol atse Eden asher began ha'okim. So that all the trees of Gan Eden, which were in the garden of God, envied it. Pasuk Yud, verse 10, begins the next section, which tells us how and why the tree would not survive. Yan asher gavata bekoma. Because you made yourself high in stature. Vayitein samarto el bein avosim, v'ram levavo begavho. And he set his top among the thick boughs, and his heart is lifted in his height. The Malbim explains that there are two elements of gaiva, arrogance, described here. One, the tree, meaning Ashur, was proud of its strength and power. And second, because it ruled those around it, it thought it was self-made, rather than getting its strength from Hashem. Consequently, because of this attitude, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11, Hashem gave him Biyad El Gayin, in the hands of the mightiest, according to the Malbim, or the harshest, according to the Rashi, of the nations, meaning Nebuchadnezzar. The Navi describes what Nebuchadnezzar's conquest looked like by continuing with the Mashal in Pasuk Yud Beis. It says how the most evil ones of a strange nation fell this tree. They cut it down and shatter it on the mountains and valleys. They spread its branches and boughs and leaves all over the land. Everyone who had lived in this tree's shadow had to leave. This tree that had supplied so much for others is left a stump. Rather than mourn this tree, Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13, describes how the animals acted. Alma palto yishkenu, kol of hashamayim. Upon its carcass, all the fowls of the heavens dwell. Vel porosav hayu kol chayas hasadeh, and upon its branches are all the beasts of the field. The Malbim explains in Nimshal, when Ashur was intact, it helped all the traders in the region. Now they stop in the land for convenience to refuel, but do not care that it was destroyed. The other nations, who are compared to the animals of the field, divvy up the land that Ashur formerly controlled. Why would this tree in Ashur be subject to such complete humiliation? Pasuk Yedalad, verse 14, tells us, Laman asher lo yigbehu bekomosam, kol atzei mayim, so that no other tree should try to achieve such greatness. Why not? The Mitzvah David says that this has happened so that other nations would learn Musar, moral lesson, that they should not become arrogant when they become powerful and influential. This arrogance depletes their strength. They should instead realize ki hulam nitnu lemaves el eretz tachtis, that they are all going to die to the nether parts of the earth, b'soch b'nei adam el yordei bar, amid the children of men with them that go down to the pit. All people eventually die, and they will not take their wealth and power with them. Instead, they will face the consequences of their behavior in the world to come. With that sobering thought, taking credit and oppressing others due to one's inflated sense of self seems futile. Pasuk Tezvav, verse 15, begins the last section of the Perek, which discusses what happens after the death of this tree, meaning Ashur, who was conquered by Nebuchadnezzar in the first year of his reign. B'yom Ritzo Sha'ula, on the day when the tree died and went down to Sha'ul, Hashem caused the deep to mourn and change the direction of the river so it would no longer nourish the roots. The Das Sofrim says that just as a mother mourns the loss of a son, Hashem makes nature mourn the loss of its creatures who meet an ignoble end, as the goal of their creation was to be elevated and to elevate the world. The Pasuk continues telling us how the rest of the trees react to the downfall of Ashur's tree. And B'chol Atzei Hasadeh Alav Opeh, and all the trees of the field fainted for him. The other trees no longer had water from the river, as the river was now dried up, nor did they have the shade from the tree to protect them. The Nimshal, according to the Malbim, is that the other nations who traded with Ashur lost their access to the many markets Ashur controlled, and they could no longer sell their wares, so it was as if they fainted from a lack of sustenance. Pasuk Tezayin adds that all the nations alive shuddered when the tall cedar tree fell, as they realized that their fate would soon be like Ashur. However, not everyone was upset by this change of fate. Bohridi oso sheola esyar devor. When I cast him, meaning Ashur, down to Gehenim with them that descended into the pit, v'nachamu be'eretz tachtis kol atzei Eden. all the trees of Eden were comforted in the nether parts of the earth. The other nations, who were already in Gehenna, were comforted by the fact that Asher was not escaping the punishment they faced and was now joining them. When a person sees someone else's suffering in the same way they are suffering, it provides them with some level of comfort, because at least they are not alone. All the other nations who were supported by Asher and dwelt in its shadow, Gam Heim Ito Yardu She'olah, they also went down with him into Gehenna. After describing the grandeur of Asher, its destruction, and everlasting punishment, Yechezkel now turns to Mitzrayim and asks him in Pasuk Yudches, verse 18, a question similar to the question with which he opened the parak. Elmi damisa kacha b'chavod of the godel ba'atzei Eden. To whom are you comparable in glory and in greatness among the trees of Eden? Since Mitzrayim feels that they are most similar to Asher, Yechezkel makes explicit what that means. V'uradata es atzei Eden al eretz tachtis. You will be brought down with the other trees of Eden to the underparts of the earth. The previous two prakim have discussed the upcoming demise of Mitzrayim. This parak highlights the fatal flaw of Mitzrayim, that of arrogance, by bringing the example of Asher, which Egypt envies. Hashem lets them know that Egypt will meet the same end, being brought to Gehenna, because they share that same character flaw. One of the main lessons we can learn from this parak, as well as the parak about the king of Tsur, is the danger of arrogance. Hashem gives gifts to people and nations to serve a higher purpose. When people or nations start to take credit for their success, they lose their moral compass and connection to the source of their blessings. Just as other nations were meant to learn this lesson from watching the downfall of Asher, we can learn to use our gifts to help others and not to gain power over others. We can pause and think about how all our success is truly from Hashem. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther, Basri Yosef.